Dad, what makes a curveball curve?
It's all in the grip. The alignment of the stitches. How you release. Something about the way it spins.
So what makes it curve?
When it's your turn to be the teacher, why not use the computer more teachers use? Macintosh.
Welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today... Where did I put with your... Well, hold on. Where did I put your... Where did I put your stories?
This week's insult. Insult joke. You've lost it.
We're... Oh, wait. There it is. Why did I number it this way? Here we go. He's the Apple world's favorite journalist. All the Apple execs want to talk to him. All the Verge guys and bloggers want to be him. Leander Caney is here.
Okay, good one.
You see how nice that one was?
That was actually quite nice, yeah.
Yeah, you think so little of me. My intros for you are nothing but edifying information. Every once in a while, I'll throw in a zinger.
Yes.
But for the most part...
Yeah, you know, kind of nice.
Yeah, it wasn't last week's
kind of
like...
kind of compliments. What was last week's?
I think it was something like, he's muscular, he's strong, he's so good looking, and he smells. Leander Caney is here. Something like that. Oh, you weren't here last week.
No, but okay, yeah. So it must have been, that's why I can't remember, because it was a few
weeks
ago.
That's why, because I literally didn't do one. Well, I love it when this happens, because I was looking at the show notes today, and I was just biting my fingernails thinking, oh Lord, there's just nothing here. It's the end of summer, there's just nothing going on. And then poof, like Tim Cook knew that I needed some good stuff, some sugar for the show. We get the Apple September event invitation that just went out. Guess what day it's on, Leander Caney? Just take a guess.
The show itself?
Yeah. The keynote. Well, the keynote event.
On the 10th? September 10th?
Boom! You got it right. Just like we talked about on the show.
Okay.
By the way, can you hear that terrible noise, the drilling and the shaking and the thunder?
I can't hear anything,
happening.
No.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, did you hear that?
Nope, didn't hear it. What's going
on? Oh, well, after years of taking a ladder up and down into Cult Command Center, here where I record the show, a ladder. I've been using a ladder since I had this structure built because, well, it's a long story. I won't get into it. I've been going up and down a ladder to get in. And finally, I'm having stairs built, and the guy just happened to show up like 3 hours ago with all the materials. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. The one day I actually needed to be quiet.
Yeah, right. But you can't throw him away because otherwise he won't show up. Because
he's making my
again.
Stairs. Yeah. And he's giving me a heck of a deal. So, you know, if you hear drilling, if you hear some guy screaming after he hits his thumb with a hammer or something,
okay,
that's what's going on. But it's going to be great because I can't wait to have some stairs and not have to go up and down the ladder. But let's continue on with the Apple stories. So we're going to talk about our Apple September 10th event, hardware expectations. There's a lot to talk about here. I'm not even sure we're going to make it through all this stuff. And then I thought this would be interesting. There is a new streaming service coming out from Disney very soon called Disney Plus. And I was reading through this offer of the stuff that they're going to include in their streaming service. And I thought, whoa. This is good stuff. Like, I'm kind of hoping that Apple follows in these footsteps and creates a plan that's somewhat similar to this because they are doing it right. But I'm going to juxtapose what Disney is doing for their first streaming service. You know, they're going up against Netflix. There's some well-established competitors out there. Against what we know about what Apple is doing so far. And I think Apple's going to have to really bolster what they're going to be offering here to draw people in, because when I look at what Disney's doing and I look at what Apple's doing, I'm left kind of scratching my head. I'm left wanting, let's put it that way. We're going to wrap up with a story about a little piece of Steve Jobs memorabilia. This might be the coolest piece of Steve Jobs memorabilia that I've seen in the 7 years that we've been doing this show. Something that I desperately want but can never hope to afford. Maybe we could do a crowdfund and you guys could buy me this artifact. How about that, Leander? We can raise the money. I think we only need like maybe $100,000. What do you think?
Yeah, just pass around the hat.
I'll count you in for 10. The listeners will give me another 90. Boom! We're going to have a great piece of Steve Jobs memorabilia. You know, the strange thing is sometimes I feel like people aren't interested in hearing about Steve Jobs anymore. I still like to talk about him.
Where do you get that from?
I just get that impression when we talk about Steve Jobs. He has been gone for a while, and I feel like people just aren't interested in hearing about him anymore.
I don't get that impression at all.
You don't? Okay, maybe. I hope you're right, because I do enjoy talking. He was such a special guy.
Right.
I enjoy talking about him.
I wish he was around, you know.
Me too.
Some more crazy stuff. And
me too.
I think a lot of people feel like that. But a lot of the story, I don't know, there haven't been a lot of news stories, though, have there? That's the problem, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the guy was in charge of Apple for, 25 years? I'm just taking a guess. There's got to be stories.
Oh, there's tons of stories, but people aren't telling them. Yeah.
He's gone. It's like, how can he still have that power, that grip on people? They're not willing to talk about those stories even after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, the only new stories that I can think of is, like, you know, his daughter from Lisa Brennan Jobs, you know, like in Small Fry in her book, which I still haven't read. But, you know, and they weren't really happy stories. I think that's part of the problem.
Okay, before we dive into the show, Leander, I'm just telling you this now for the first time, but do you want to talk to us about the Cult of Mac Watch Store?
Okay, yeah, the Watch Store, sure. Yeah, definitely.
Tell us about the Watch Store. We got it on the docket.
We got a really good Labor Day sale coming up this weekend.
Oh, do tell.
So we have 6 vendors, I don't remember the percentages off. Yeah, because you caught me unawares here, but we've definitely, you know, like we've got some percentages off on these goods from 6 different vendors, and it's always a good place to find a good deal anyway. Plus, it's the only one stop shop that I know of for Apple watch accessories and goods. We're working with this consultant. In fact, we're doing a redesign of the store, which we were trying to get done for before the event next week, but unfortunately we won't get it done. It's going to be a couple of weeks, but he was really raving about it. He was going, oh my goodness, you know, like, you've got a lot of really cool stuff here. And it made me sort of like, pat myself on the back and sort of say, we actually do. I mean, I think there is some really, really good stuff that you can find on the store that is difficult to find anywhere else. And of course, you know, like, everything has been reviewed and sort of vetted, and we can recommend it. It's good stuff. You know, it's not stuff that's cheap. It's not stuff that's going to break. It's not stuff that's going to be, that is easily thrown away. It's good quality stuff. Check it out. store.cultofmac.com.
I'm looking at it right now. There's some great looking bands in here. I like those flex ones. I never know what to call those. And then it looks
called Flex, the Twister Flex.
Oh,
well, yeah, from Speedell. That's a really great band. That's been around since the 50s, and I reviewed that, you know, for the site and for the store. It's really, really a great, great band. I really like that. I really like the way it feels, the way that you just put, you know, you stretch it to get it on and off.
Well, if you've never checked it out, head over to store.cultomac.com. You can see all the different products here. If you've never seen what they have to offer, you'll be surprised. You honestly will be surprised. There's some really good stuff in here. Okay, let's start with the big story, of course. We're going to talk about our September 10th Apple event expectations, and I thought we could do some tea reading here, maybe interpret what this invitation means. I'll tell you what, I looked at this invitation for about 30 seconds, and I thought, I got it all figured out. If this means what I think it means, we're on the cusp of seeing one of the most innovative, iconic Apple products that we've seen in a long time. And I think it's going to be one that excites Buster Heine very much. So let's start with this. Apple just sent out invitations to a press event on, wait for it, September 10th, just like we talked about. 10 a.m., Steve Jobs Theater. We're widely expecting the launch of 3 new iOS devices, among them the first iPhone Pro model. The invite has an Apple logo divided up into green, blue, yellow, red, and purple sections. It's clearly an homage to the multicolored logo the company used for a long time, although there are some differences. So it looks like the old multicolored Apple logo, but it's like a artsy type version of the logo. Any ideas what the logo on the imitation means, Leander?
Well, like you, I think, you know, everyone jumps to that same conclusion. There's got to be colors, right? It's indicative of the colors. But there was a pretty good one that someone dug up on Twitter where they had an old Apple patent filing for some kind of crazy camera. And there's a series of stacked lenses. And then you can see that they've put, because I can't find it now, but they compared this, that the stacked lenses kind of looks like that abstract-ish Apple.
Oh.
And he's like, oh my God, yeah, look, it's like an eight-lens camera system, you know, super secret patent that they filed, you know, years ago. And
that's absurd.
Yeah, it's a shame the bus is not around this week because he's really funny. He did some really clever, like last year's, you know, like really clever takedowns, analysis of all the different meanings of every tiny detail in the invite. And I wanted him to do that again because he was so good at doing that. It's like really, really funny. But unfortunately, he's not around this month, this week, so he wasn't able to do that. This one's kind of like... you know, there's not a lot else to go on there, really, is there? Except the fact that maybe the rainbow logo is going to be returning to the products, which is also rumored. But there's some skepticism that it's going to be actually the phones or the iPad.
You mean the color of the phones, like the body? That seems to be the common consensus,
right? But there was also some speculation that they could be putting the rainbow colored logo back onto the products themselves.
That's what I'm hoping for. I hope it's going to be that rainbow icon on the iPhone Pro models. Wouldn't that be cool?
I don't know, actually. I'm not really sure if I'm into it. I have to see it.
I bet you'll be into it once Tim Cook pulls the sheet off. I bet you'll be real into it.
I'll be like standing up and applauding wildly.
You'll even call it astonishing. Well, here, I've got a take that I've not seen anyone talk about, and when I describe to you how I'm interpreting this logo, I think that it's going to be pretty convincing. So let's look at it from the color layer perspective, right? The top is green, okay? What's green indicative of? Plant life, right? Rich plant life. What's below the green? Blue. Water. There's plants. It's in the water. What's below the blue? Yellow. The hot Cupertino sun. You have a plant, lush and green. It's in the water. It's under the hot Cupertino sun. Any thoughts on what that might be?
I don't have a clue. Weed? They're going to get into weed?
Bingo! Bingo. We all know Tim Cook blows big clouds. And they have that lush garden in the middle of Infinite Loop. What do you think is going to happen over there?
Yeah.
Did I just call it Infinite Loop? I meant the spaceship campus.
Yeah.
They've got some special tree guys walking around.
Right.
Now, hold on. More proof. It's evident in the logo itself. Now, look, I don't know what the red means. It's below the yellow. I haven't gotten that part figured out. But purple haze, Leander. Purple haze.
There you go.
All through my brain. Bum, 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 bum.
There you go.
Excuse me.
I think it cracked it.
The sky. Bingo. Can you imagine if they unveiled that on stage, Apple's own brand of, it doesn't even have to be medical anymore, does it?
It could be recreational. Yeah. Vaporizers maybe, because they're electronic?
Oh,
or do you think it's going to be purely organic?
I hadn't even considered that. It has like the glowing white Apple logo on it.
Yeah.
You know what? There's people out there who are like, that's a crazy idea. Think how much money they'd make if that's what they did. Apple's own brand of marijuana and the vaporizer.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
It could be like PAX, you know, those ones that they have here that have the proprietary cartridges, you know, that only work on the PAX vaporizer batteries.
Man, things are getting crazy out there. My cousin works for a company that they don't sell any of the green leafy substance. I don't know why I'm speaking euphemisms now, but now I'm shrouding it in euphemisms. He works for a company that shows you places to buy marijuana on a map.
Weed maps.
It might even be that one. I don't remember the name of the place. But he talks to me about some of the products that are out there right now. Man, back in my day, it's like, you want some grass? You know, that was your choice. You either wanted grass or you didn't. And now there's a whole menu of stuff, and there's all these crazy, wacky products. In fact, I'm sure you could probably tell me about some of them. But there's all sorts of crazy gadgets out there. There's like a whole world of technology involved now.
There is.
I mean, don't incriminate yourself.
I'm not gonna, well, I don't. You know, I just do the tincture really to go to sleep, and sometimes a little edible every now and again, and maybe also like a little puff here and there. But
and then also before lunch, and sometimes on the weekends, you know.
Right.
And then if I'm going on a bike ride,
yeah. Well, the bike riding, yeah. Occasionally, I indulge in a little puff, but I don't have any crazy products. Although I did get oh my goodness me, what are they called now? I can't remember what they're called. Not a shredder. What do you call it? Those round things where you.
Man, you got me. You I don't know what the up. Name it. I don't know what the name.
Every time
of
you join a collector,
is.
They give you one, a cheap plastic one, and uh-huh. It's for like, you know, grinding a grinder.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I got a grinder, and my goodness, that really is the biggest thing I've ever. I wish, you know, after all these years of trying to roll joints.
Yeah,
with grass. Never had and like what a pain in the patootie it is. And then a grinder really makes it like fantastic. It really makes it a lot easier.
I had a friend that used to use a coffee grinder.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, it's like a plain coffee grinder. Anyway, look, I didn't mean to get us off track here, but I thought I would divulge my my hypothesis here, and we'll see. We'll see how crazy of an idea it is.
It's going to be a bit.
It could just end up being different color iPhone XRs or whatever they end up calling it. There's a chance it could just be that.
Well, I wrote you reminded me of whole stuff like, you know, there's a lot of countercultural stuff in Apple's roots and Apple's history.
Uh-huh.
You know, of course, like you know, Jobs took LSD in India and all that kind of stuff. But there, you know, a lot of the early Apple employees were potheads. But I took this one. Collective, they were like a commune here in San Francisco, and how they became one of the first and biggest Apple dealers back in the mm-hmm. early days.
Mm-hmm.
This was like a big hippie commune, but you know they were kind of aligned with Apple's values at the time, which is like, you know, at the time technology was a tool of the man, a tool of repression. You know, IBM was selling computers to big corporations, to the government, to keep track of people. And you know the pitch for the first Mac was it was technology for ordinary people to enhance their creativity and to fight back. So that really appealed to the countercultural sort of hippie mentality way of thinking. You know, it was a tool of liberation.
That's funny because I listen to a lot of Apple advertisements, and that puts a new angle on those computer for the rest of us ads.
Right.
That they have a ton of those out.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. That was the origin of that you know, that phrase, that Markov phrase. I never read his book, but John Markov, a respected New York Times the technology journalist, he wrote a book about the whole countercultural roots of Silicon Valley, and it was supposed to be pretty good.
You're just adding more and more credence, validation to my theory.
To your theory, right?
Yeah, so it wouldn't be that crazy. Okay, let's talk about our specific expectations for this event. So clearly new OSs, iOS 13, macOS, Catalina, watchOS 6, iPadOS, tvOS 13. It's going to be a packed show. I think that's going to take up a significant portion of the show. Of course, new iPhones, iPhone Pro 5.8-inch iPhone Pro, iPhone Pro Plus 6.5-inch. They're going to have new A13 chips. Matte glass on the back, haptic touch instead of 3D touch, better face ID that works from more angles, three cameras with a new ultra wide field of view, bigger batteries with potentially, hopefully, longer battery life, better waterproofing, which is something that I would really like to see, shatterproof, quote unquote, shatterproof glass.
Yeah.
Here's a big one. I think that we forgot to mention this last week when you were gone. I was talking to Lewis about, or maybe the week before, on what to expect in the new iPhones. Two-way wireless charging. This could be such a huge one. So we're expecting them to add the ability for the iPhone to charge your accessories. So you would flip over the iPhone, and then on the back, it would have a wireless charger built in, and you could put on your AirPods in the wireless charging case and charge your AirPods. I'm hoping, I'm praying, please let this work on the Apple Watch. I went on a trip this last weekend. I didn't even bring my Apple Watch because I'm so sick and tired of having to bring different chargers for all my Apple devices. I had my iPhone, so I had to have a Lightning charger. I bought my MacBook Pro and my iPad Pro, so I had to have a USB-C charger. And then my Apple Watch has the Apple Watch-specific charger on top of that, and I just couldn't be bothered to do it. And you know what? I missed my Apple Watch the entire weekend. I missed it terribly.
Right.
Because I actually needed a watch. I was traveling, and I actually needed a watch. In fact, I didn't even piece this together. I missed my flight back.
Oh, really?
I missed my flight back.
You're like, I got plenty of time.
Well, actually, it's a whole long story. The airline Delta really screwed me bad. Really screwed me bad. Hmm. And
that's hard to believe.
Yeah. Right. I could tell a whole story about what happened, but I don't want to dive into it right now. But let's just say they kind of forced me into missing my flight. Well, I'll tell the really short abbreviated version, right? So we get to the airport late. We're in a scramble, but it's a very small airport. You can make it through security in like 10 minutes. We get there with 30 minutes to go. I'm feeling pretty good. And I go to print my boarding pass because I just need to grab my boarding pass and go. And the kiosk won't let me print my pass. It says you have to speak to someone to print your pass. So it kicks me out into the Delta line, but the Delta line is severely understaffed, and I have to wait in a line with all these other priority passengers ahead of me. So I have to stand there for like 15, 20 minutes just waiting for someone to help me. And by the time I get my pass, I have to rush through security.
Hmm.
And I missed my flight by 2 minutes, and they took off without us. Huh. Even though we were checked in.
You should have grabbed one of the people, and you buy to the front of the line. Going to be pushy.
I did. We pushed our way through security all the way to the front. And actually, everyone was very nice. I didn't push, but we were like, please, will you let us go through? Please, we're going to miss our flight. And they did. They let us go through really fast. So we got through security in like 8 minutes. But it was just not enough. By the time we got to the gate, they took off without us. And the guy could not have cared less. So I had to rent I had to rent a car because I was in Oregon. I had to rent a car and drive it back to Seattle.
How long did that take?
Because they were... It took 8 hours.
Crikey.
It was a 45-minute flight.
Oh,
it took
my goodness,
8 hours
really?
To drive it all the way back. Oh, right.
What a nightmare.
And I had to like go pick up my kids. They're like, we could send you back tomorrow. They wanted to charge us a fee to change our flight. I'm like, first of all, no. And they wanted to send us the next day. I was like, dude, I got to pick up my kids tonight.
Right.
So
yeah.
I got to get back. So we had to rent a car. And
what was the issue with was it a security thing and they wouldn't let you print out the...
So they said that they churn off access to the kiosks 30 minutes before your flight starts, but they do it manually. So I think the guy shut it off a couple minutes early so that they could sell our tickets to the standby passengers.
Hmm.
And so it just screwed us. He shut down the kiosk from the gates, so we couldn't print our passes. But the weird thing is here I am telling the whole story anyway. When we went to print our boarding passes, the lady at the counter who finally came to help us, she said, oh, you'll be fine. Don't worry. It says on my screen that they're going to hold it for you. So we make it through and the plane takes off. So I come back and she goes, oh, what happened? I said, my flight took off, lady. They didn't wait for us. And she's like, oh, that's really surprising. And then she just left.
See you later.
I'm going by lunch. Well,
when we flew out of Mexico City, I mean, we all had our passes on our phones. And I had mine on my watch. If you'd had your watch charged.
Oh, man, I should have tried to do that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I don't know if Delta lets you do that. Anyway, so I didn't have my Apple Watch. My chakras got all messed up. I didn't know what time it was. I never knew what time it was. And it was very disorienting.
Discombobulating, yeah. That's
very much so.
Well, you know, one thing about this two-way charging, does this not seem kind of gimmicky to you? You know, like, can you see yourself charging your watch or your AirPods from your phone? Wouldn't it be more useful if your phone was dying and you could suck the last bit of juice out of your AirPods for the phone?
it's like a vampire mode.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to be really two-way? So do you think you could take, you know, charge out of AirPods if you need
it? No, definitely not. Well, no, you'll have to have a device that's capable of recharging your phone.
You don't think that, wouldn't that be how much would the AirPods juice an iPhone anyway, like especially a Max?
I'm guessing 3 seconds. I'm going to say like 8%.
Huh.
8% max.
That would be enough though, wouldn't it, to make a call?
The AirPods, if you charge them for like 15 minutes, you get what, 3 hours of battery time? It's got the same size battery as the Apple TV remote. Well, that's like using your Apple TV as like a backup.
Well, come
your
on,
Apple
man.
TV remote as a backup battery.
That'd be kind of handy.
Your iPhone's like, thank you, I have 2% power now. Yeah, that would be cool if they could all charge each other, but I don't
see
that.
How often do you desperately need to charge? You know, the only thing you really ever desperately need to charge is your phone. That's the thing you really want to charge, isn't it? That's where you know, that's the thing that should be taking priority for being charged up.
I see your point, but I guess in my mind, I always have an Apple charger with me somewhere. I just don't want to take my Apple Watch charger with me when I go places. So this is a great travel feature. So Now I can just take my Lightning charger and or just my computer and a Lightning cable, and then I can charge my AirPods and I can charge my watch from my iPhone. That's pretty handy.
That would be, yeah, for sure. Like you can plug in your phone into your computer, turn the phone over so it's face down, and then put your watch on top of it.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
And your AirPods.
Baby.
You can't do two at the same time, could you? It's not like an AirPod mat.
Now you're cruising. You're charging all your gadgets with one MacBook Pro charger, your MacBook Pro, one Lightning cable. That's pretty handy.
That would be, yeah.
Especially if you're like me and you take all your Apple gadgets with you.
Right.
I'm actually kind of embarrassed. I take so many Apple gadgets with me. I was going to be gone for 2 days, and I was going to a wedding, so I was gone for part of it. By the way, one of the best weddings I've ever been to. Oh, man, was it a good wedding. Beautiful venue. They had an open bar, delicious desserts, such good food. It was also very small. There was like 100 people there. I felt like I was in a J. Crew ad. Hmm. That's how nice this wedding was. It had like this 50s theme to it. They had this trailer, this really cool Airstream trailer with a pop-out panel that you could go to, and the entire thing was a bar inside. So they would just make you drinks and stuff. Anyway, you would have loved it.
I would have loved it. Yeah, that sounds really right.
You had a great time. And the dance floor was on this bluff overlooking this giant valley. So the thing was in Bend, Oregon, which I don't know if you've ever been to Bend, Oregon. It is some kind of paradise. You rarely see beauty like that.
Right, outdoors.
Outdoor town,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and it has like this large valley. It's just surrounded by mountains everywhere. It's really beautiful country. So like the dance floor was on a bluff overlooking the mountains and this valley and the sunset right behind the mountains as you were dancing.
Huh.
It was real nice.
It sounds really lovely.
So I love a good wedding.
Usually weddings in England, though, end up in a punch-up. You know, everyone gets really drunk. There's a big
Those are the best kind. It's not a proper wedding unless you end up headbutting someone, biting off an ear. a proper caney wedding. That's going to be all for your kids.
Oh, dear. You just reminded me. Never mind. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about it.
Okay, we're running so long already. Look at this. We're barely making it through this. Now, this is why I cut stories out. Okay, so that's the iPhone Pro Max. Hopefully, we'll also get the rainbow-colored Apple logo on the back.
Which color are you excited for? I mean, is this some hideous green color?
Well, those are going to be for the XR replacements, and I have already decided I'm going with the Pro. I'm so excited for a new phone. It's weird. I didn't think that I was going to be that interested in the phone, but of course this happens every year. But as soon as I started reading about the specs and I just kind of started marinating in the iPhone rumors, I started thinking to myself, yeah, you know, like I'm feeling good. I'm ready to spend some money on a new phone. I love having a new phone every year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely a luxury.
Who
for
doesn't
sure.
love that new phone, right?
Yeah, that new phone feeling. I give it a good
and
old
people are, sniff. There's a lot of rumors about the camera. People are thinking the camera's going to be really extraordinary.
Well, last year's upgrade to the camera was one of the most unbelievable camera upgrades Apple has ever made on an iPhone. So I'm hopeful. And when I pull that thing out of the box, I'm going to hold it under my nose. I'm going to give it a big, long sniff like it's a fine cigar. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And just rub my nose across the entire thing. It's going to be a glorious moment. Exactly. Just like that. Just like that. Accidentally take a picture of my nostril.
So the XR looks a pretty good deal too, doesn't it? Big screen.
It's going to have a 6.1-inch screen, dual camera upgrade, probably the same internals as the iPhone Pro. New colors, of course, which are probably representative here in this invitation. And I love my XR. It's a great, great phone. I have to admit, though, the screen, after having a iPhone 10, it's not as good. It's a great screen, but it's not quite as good as the OLED in the premium grade iPhones. And I've gotten used to it. You know, it's fine, but I still kind of miss that having that OLED screen. Like I have on my Apple Watch, always reminds me how vivid the colors are. So I'm going to be looking forward to having a premium screen again. I was thinking, did you see that photo of that Steve Jobs doppelganger in Egypt?
Right.
Holy moly. If they wanted to have the most ultimate one more thing ever, strap that guy into a black mock turtleneck and bring him out for the one more thing, and you could watch the weens at the Verge soil their sacks underpants when that guy comes out on stage.
You don't think that's a bit ghoulish?
Well, people will be so surprised. They won't know what's going on. That guy looked exactly like Steve Jobs. Yeah. It's uncanny.
Right, he did. Yeah. It is a freaky picture.
In fact, if Steve Jobs were still with us, you would have thought that was him in Egypt. You would thought that looks like Steve Jobs. There he is. What's he doing in Egypt?
Right. And
you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, people were saying that he's faked his death and he's now retired, and I don't know why he would go to Egypt, and I don't know why he would have to fake his death, because he wasn't, you know, what was he, for what purpose, but...
Because he knew Tim Cook had a hit on him. He wanted that job. He wanted that CEO job.
Was there any kind of that stuff in the Reddit thread?
For...
That kind of speculation.
For that picture? Oh, of course. There's the wackiest Alex Jones-level rumors you've ever imagined in that thread. I mean, it was hilarious reading through what people were saying about that guy. I'll post a link to this in the show notes where we should have explained. There's a picture that got taken of this Steve Jobs lookalike. I guess he's in Egypt. It was posted on Twitter this week, and it absolutely exploded because this guy looks exactly like Steve Jobs. It's unbelievable. It's like his side profile. You can't see him straight on. But as far as lookalikes go...
Yeah, same haircut, same sort of glasses.
Yeah, he has like the shaved head and everything.
And he has same kind of like demeanor as well, right? The way he's sitting,
he looks like he's about to yell at you.
Right. of course, Jobs was of Syrian descent, so...
Exactly. So I thought maybe this picture was taken in Syria or something, but I guess it was Egypt.
It'd be fun to if anyone tracks down that guy and find out if, you know, what if he gets mistaken for Jobs... And other times, at other parts.
I mean, how crazy would it be if that guy was like related to Steve Jobs? I mean, Steve Jobs didn't know his father. Who knows how many kids that guy had?
Right, yeah.
You know?
His dad, yeah. I wonder if his dad was up in Reno, wasn't he? Working as a restaurant manager at some hotel up there.
I thought he owned his own business. He was an entrepreneur, wasn't he?
I don't know. He was like I don't remember.
Oh, no, I think you're right. I think we're both right. He was an entrepreneur. I think he owned a restaurant. We should know this.
Yeah.
You should definitely know this.
Well.
I've got an excuse. I haven't written an Apple book.
I haven't written one for a few years, so a bit rusty.
Okay, well, let's cruise through the rest of these things. So you might be wondering, okay, what else are we going to see at this event? So probably Apple Arcade. It's going to be revealed. We're going to get an official price, the games lineup, and all that kind of stuff. I think we're also going to get Apple TV Plus, which we can talk about more here in just a sec. I think they're going to have to outline what we're actually getting, and I hope that they have more in store for us than what we've seen so far, because it's still not quite adding up to me. And then, I know you're wondering, you want to see that big, beautiful 16-inch MacBook Pro. There are rumored iPad Pros on the way. Apple has a whole gang of hardware on the way, but I honestly don't think we're going to see Macs at this event. I don't think we're going to see iPads at this event. We may see an Apple Watch. I wouldn't be surprised if that waited too. I think what's probably going to happen is we're going to have another event, a hardware event in October, right before the holiday season, where Tim Cook's going to whet our appetites for all the hardware. So this event's going to focus on iPhone and then all the new OSs. October comes, boom, here are all the new pieces of hardware that we have under the sheet. He's going to pull it off. We're all going to tweak our nips and be an Eros and then throw our money at Apple and Co. for the holiday season. So it's going to be split up, I think. What do you think about that?
Okay. I don't know. Did they do that last year?
I think they had a hardware event. Now we got to look it up.
See, I can't remember them doing this kind of thing, like splitting up two hardware events. I don't know. You know.
Yeah, it looks like the event in October 2018 was just that iPad event. Remember at that school? So maybe they did announce all of it at the same event. I don't quite remember. It's been so long now.
Yeah.
I would love it if they just dropped it all on us at one time.
I mean, I think that's probably more likely, right? You know, because they get all the press, and it's such a big deal. It's such a big, you know, this is months in the planning. They got to get all these people there to the Steve Jobs Theater, and, you know, you might as well just get all of the holiday announcements out in one go.
Yeah, but they got to do Apple TV Plus and Apple Arcade and all the OSs and all the hardware. It's going to be a Lord of the Rings extended edition keynote.
Five or six hours. You know what?
We've had one of those before, and I loved every minute of it. So I wouldn't mind that one bit.
Yeah, I wonder. It could be. Do you think it's going to be a 3 hour?
Oh, it's going to be. It's going to be a juicy 3 hours for sure. Very dense. Very, very dense, but that's how we like them now. Okay, so there is all of our hardware, software expectations for this event. Let's talk about Disney Plus for just a moment here, because we're running long here already. Jeez, look at the time. Disney this week showcased its upcoming streaming service at the D23 Expo in California, offering new details on their $6.99 per month streaming plan. Engadget had a big piece on this. I'll link to it in the show notes if you want to take a look at it. So $7 a month. This is the same price, actually a dollar less, than the base plan for Netflix. And I'll compare and contrast those two in just a sec. So for that $7 per month Disney Plus tier, you get four simultaneous streams. You get 4K quality HDR at no extra cost. You also are able to create up to 7 different user profiles with a single Disney Plus subscription. So they're giving you basically a streaming service for your whole family. Netflix's similar premium Ultra HD plan lets you watch on 4 screens at a time. It includes HD and Ultra HD. You can download videos on up to 4 phones or tablets so that you can watch them later. By the way, you can also do that on the Disney plan. But their plan is $16. So their comparable plan is $16 a month. Disney has confirmed, this is the big part, Disney has confirmed their service will have more than 500 feature films at launch and over 7,500 show episodes. Disney also announced Disney Plus will have apps for iOS, Apple TV, Android, Xbox One, along with other devices like the PlayStation 4 and Roku. Last bit, Disney Plus mobile app will support offline downloads, and you can download in as many movies and shows as you want. The only restriction is the amount of storage you have on your device. That's on top of the fact that Disney will stream 4K, HDR, and Dolby Atmos. This is all included in the $6.99 a month plan. Now, I have to admit, when I first heard that Disney was doing their own streaming service, I wrote it off. I was like, not interested. Seeing this, and you got to understand also that Disney literally owns all the good content nowadays. Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar, tons of other stuff. Now I'm kind of interested in this plan for $7 a month. What do you think about that, Leander?
Yeah, well, it depends on the library, doesn't it? Of course, you know, like you said, all the other stuff is sort of like the details. But, you know, is 500 movies a lot? I don't know. Is that a lot? It seems like a lot.
It's a heck of a lot more than Apple's going to have at launch. So look, I did some research into everything that Apple is going to have at in their service when they launch, unless they have a lot of other stuff up their sleeve that we're not aware of, okay? But so far as I can tell, they have 31 shows and movies in the works that are going to be released, I guess, sometime in the next year. I don't know how many of those shows and movies are going to actually be available at launch, but even if all of them were, you're talking about 31 shows and movies, so maybe, I don't know, 20 movies and 150 episodes of show content.
Right.
So you compare that to what Disney's doing, and the rumored price for Apple TV Plus is $9.99 a month.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be more expensive with a much smaller library.
With way, way less content. Now, of course, Apple has some choice content in the works, not least of which is their new show featuring Oprah, which Tim Cook, if you recall, was very excited about. And she's going to have an interview type show. She's going to have a, there's something else that I can't remember. Oh, her book club is coming back Oprah's book club, which, you know, come on, that's your compelling content. Look, I love Oprah. I grew up watching Oprah, but that's not really compelling content, in my opinion. They've got a lot of shows in here. I was actually planning on going through all of them, but there's actually so much in here that it would take too long. So I'll just kind of highlight some of the stuff that I thought was interesting. So they have a Sesame Workshop multi-series for kids that is going to be coming out. They had that Jason Momoa show called C, which is a sci-fi drama set in the future where humans are born blind. I thought that one looked really interesting. They've got a show that's going to be produced, and also he's going to be acting in it. Chris Evans in a show called Defending Jacob, which is based on a novel by William Landy. It's a crime thriller, okay, about a father whose teenage son is accused of murder. So they've got some interesting looking content.
Don't forget Planet of the Apps.
Oh, how could I forget about
karaoke.
That? And Carpool Karaoke. I mean Carpool. Carpool Karaoke, which was a good show when James Corden was hosting it, but now that it's just a bunch of celebrities driving around in a car, I don't find it to be that much that interesting. Let's see here. Also interesting, Apple is planning to make 6 small-budget award-worthy films every year with an eye on generating buzz for the service and nabbing some Academy Award nominations along the way. So they seem like they're pursuing a much more artistic endeavor. Disney wants to entertain you, and Apple has a loftier right. set I know, of it's goals, that, yeah. right? They want to... What?
Yeah. Emily Dickinson, yeah. Something's kind of highbrow, which...
Yes.
You know, and they also got the rights to Pachinko, which is this really well-received novel from Korea. And what was the other thing that was pretty sort of highbrow-y? The Foundation series, Isaac Asimov,
mm-hmm.
which might be, you know, kind of great. Who knows?
It might be. Yeah, their content might be really good. I just, when I look at what they have available, the what's in the works, and I look at what Disney is doing, I think, okay, Disney is doing it right. They're coming in low. They're coming in with a big bang. Boom! Here's all this content, and it's only going to be $7 a month. You get 4K for free, which Netflix charges you more for. You get HDR. You're able to download unlimited content to your devices and watch it later. This is a compelling offer. Even though I'm not even interested really in having a Disney streaming service, I look at $7 a month, you're getting into that, that's so low, I might just try it out for a while and then forget I ever had it and just keep paying for it into perpetuity, right? Right. But $10 a month, like we talked about before, that's a little high. That's a little high. It's going to take some convincing. I was hoping that Apple was going to include some of the premium content in their service, which might still be possible. But when I look at the rumored $9.99 a month price tag, I think, okay, there's no way they're including premium content in that price. There might be another price tier we're unaware of. But at $9.99, you're only going to get Apple content because that's too low for them to throw in HBO, for instance, which is the one that I keep hoping that they put in mm-hmm. there. Maybe yeah. there will be some other channel content in there. But, you know, Tim... You got some splaining to do, as they say. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, you know, like we've talked about this like several times, haven't we? And you know, do you not feel that sometimes it's a little bit unfair maybe to Apple because we don't actually know all the details yet?
Like, we don't know the details, but I've said that, right? I mean, we're going to wait and see. But from the details that we do know, I'm underwhelmed. That's all I'm saying. Mm.
You know? Well, hopefully they'll throw some more light on it in a couple of weeks at this
Yeah,
at this event.
I think that we're going to hear a lot more about this at the event. And I hope it's great. I want it to be great. But they got to flush this out. They got to tell us exactly what's going on here. Because from what I'm seeing so far, I'm like, you know, you might have a great show called C, but if you want to see my $9.99 a month, you better give me some more content. You know what I'm saying? Right. That was a great joke, by the way. I worked in a... never mind. Okay, anyway. Okay, let's wrap up with this story, which I got hope. I got hope I can save some money and get my hands on this Steve Jobs memorabilia that is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I didn't realize how rare this was. So there is a Steve Jobs, autographed Steve Jobs Toy Story poster about to go on sale at auction. The asking price, 25 big ones, $25,000. It sounds like a lot, right? It's an autographed Steve Jobs poster, but it's a movie poster for Toy Story. It features Steve Jobs' signature right above the Toy Story title. And if you didn't know this, one of the reasons, well, there's a couple of reasons I think this is really cool, but one of them is Steve Jobs was a, would you call him a founder of Pixar? He was an investor at Pixar. How would you describe his relationship with that company, Leander?
Well, it was founded by George Lucas, wasn't it? And he bought it when Lucas needed some money for a messy divorce and propped it up. So, I don't know.
But they completely changed the business model when after they bought it from George Lucas. George Lucas was trying to create really high-powered computers to make animations and effects for Hollywood. But what Steve Jobs and his team realized was it was more profitable for them to actually just make movies, right? Yeah. So Steve Jobs actually became a billionaire through Pixar because he invested in Pixar, and then Disney bought Pixar, and that made Steve Jobs a billionaire.
Yeah, it made him about $4 billion, which is just mind-boggling.
Is that what he
made? I think so, yeah. And he pumped about $60-65 million
into it
at the beginning. Yeah, I know. Jump change. I mean, but exactly. But it, and then, you know, and then, of course, you know, running it for 10 years. If I, kind of apropos of nothing, there's a great book about those days, about the whole, about how Pixar, written by its CFO, called, hold on, I've got it right up here, by Lawrence Levy, To Pixar and Beyond. I think it's one of the best books I've read about Steve Jobs. I've talked about it before on the podcast.
You have, and I wrote it down to read it when you last mentioned it.
It's great. It really is good. I thought fascinating and real insight into
To Pixar and Beyond.
To Pixar and Beyond, yeah.
That movie, Toy Story, I mean, it became an iconic
movie. That was the best movie.
But it was also, some people consider it to be maybe the best animated movie of all time.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely way up there. I remember going to see it, you know, because when my kids were really young, and I was like, this is like when the kids were really, really young, and I hadn't seen a kids movie for years, you know, because I just, this is my first child with Nadine. And went took her to see it, so I had like super low expectations and was completely blown away because it's completely pitched at an adult level. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thought it was absolutely fantastic. Super fan right from the very get go.
So this poster's on sale, and you might be thinking to yourself, 25 big ones, big Earth. That's a whole lot of money. Who's going to pay $25,000 for a signed poster? But experts don't consider the price to be that high when it comes to Steve Jobs. Apparently, his signature, not his written name, but his signature is hyper ultra rare. They only know of 10 items in existence that Steve Jobs has personally signed. Isn't that incredible?
That was
10 signatures.
That was the most surprising thing I from that story. I didn't know that. 10 things?
I didn't know that either. Yeah. But once I saw that, I realized he has a really unique signature that I think it kind of reminds me of Walt Disney. It has a whimsical element to it. It's very playful. It's also in cursive. It's a really beautiful,
lowercase
artistic
letters, isn't it, as well?
You know, it's in cursive, so I couldn't tell you.
I can read it.
I don't know, is it? Let me pull out an encyclopedia and look it up every letter. Yeah, it's a very cool signature, and it just made me realize, okay, I don't think I've seen his signature before. I've seen him write his name, and it just prints. And he has it right above the Pixar title. It looks like a work of art. Like that poster along with his signature there and just knowing how rare it is. What do you say, Leander? Crowdfund? $100,000.
Yeah, sure.
Here we go, baby!
We should put it up here, though, baby. The Cult of Mac headquarters.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't we have it? We'll share it. You have it there for a while.
Oh, okay.
I'll have it here for a while until it gets mysteriously stolen, and then I'll, you know, it will just be here.
What do you think?
You know, or where? The
what do you think? Those other 10 items could be.
That's a great question. I hope one is a breast.
I don't think.
I mean, a male breast.
It's
like the
wasp. What if it's someone's broken arm? You know, and.
That'd be pretty cool.
The old
cool.
Smelly cast.
Maybe one has to be a computer or something for sure.
But did he put his signature inside the original Mac? I mean, he had everyone sign it, but was his signature in there? I don't know.
I have no idea. But if it was, that computer is worth some big
bucks.
But
over the years, he must have signed millions of things, you know, like all sorts of contracts and all kinds of stuff. You know, like, do you think that people are sitting on, you know, contracts they had with him?
Well, they must be, and they don't even know it.
Would they be?
And now that we've informed the world, if you have a contract or something signed by Steve Jobs, it's worth some big dollars.
Do you think
dollars.
It would be, though? Do you think someone was going to buy, you know, like a contract with his name, with his signature on it?
Absolutely. I was just, I didn't include this in the story because I thought it would be too boring, but there's some agency that rates the value of signatures, and they said his signature alone, they value at $50,000 because it's so
wow,
rare.
Really?
So if you just had a napkin, you could have taken something that he wiped with, he wiped his mouth with, and it just happened to have a signature on it. That'd probably be worth $50,000. In fact, if it had his like saliva and like his food detritus on it, you actually might get more. Maybe like $100,000.
Do people trade in that stuff? I'm not sure they did. You know, I always wondered
if it had some like pizza grease.
I always wondered about his business card, because Steve Wozniak used to make a big deal about his business card. He had all kinds of crazy business cards over the years, including like these sort of laser etched platinum ones made out of metal and stuff like that. But I never heard stories about Steve Jobs's business card. I wonder whether he ever had one, and if he did, whether he ever gave it out. I doubt he did, actually.
You doubt he gave out his business card? I mean, isn't that the whole point?
Maybe in the early days, I bet he had a business card, you know, like in the early days of Apple. But at a certain point, it became so famous, right, so iconic, that he just wouldn't have needed a business card. But it's sort of so superfluous and silly, right?
Yeah, and if he did have one, he certainly wouldn't have signed it.
You know, he didn't have license plates on his cars. I can't really imagine him giving out a business card to people. I just cannot imagine that.
He just assumed that you knew who he was.
Yeah, if you need to get hold of him, you know, you'd be able to figure it out, right?
It's like Elvis. You don't need his business card.
Right,
precisely. It's Elvis, yeah, you know? Right,
exactly.
He's the Elvis of the...
It's completely, you know, unnecessary.
Yeah, he's the Elvis of Silicon Valley. There you go. All right, Leander, I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there. I hear the Motorcycle Club they're starting their motors. I know you're dying to get on your hog and get out there riding with them. Take a couple puffs, get out there on your hog with the motorcycle gangs.
On my bicycle. Yeah, not quite the same, but...
Ring your bell aggressively at them. Okay. That's all the Coldcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come say hi to us on Twitter and tell us about some of your hardware expectations, we're on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. Leander is at L. Kane. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. How was that?
It was okay.
That's it?
It was okay.
That was like I thought that was at least a 10 out of 10.
Oh, possibly. I'd say 7.
Possibly 11 out of 10.
7.
It's like a carnival bar.
Look at that. Perfect. No Lewis to mess it up.
Lewis is always messing up the clap. He's 2 seconds behind. His internet ping is just embarrassing. Then I'm embarrassed for him. Yeah, then there's a sighing.
The sign drives me crazy.
Sometimes he adds that weird shake to the end of it.
Oh, he does? How does it go? You must have, I guess you're listening to it on the recording, huh?
I got to listen to it like 4 times a week. Yeah, and then you were gone, so it was me and Lewis.
Oh, my God. Was it
so I had to go
fest?
To him for answers more often. Yeah, it was a sigh fest. Every 15 to 20 seconds, I had to hear that sigh. It's actually quite soothing. I've gotten to. I have an ASMR video that I made for myself of just Lewis sighing.
You're going to have to listen to the little tremolo at the end. It's funny.
Vibrato.